The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today, believe it or not, is the 6th of December, 2016. And go out to motivationandmuscle.com and look at what we've got out there, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. And one of the greatest things is the 30-day program, where this is the first time I link up conventional lifting with some power rack work, where, you know, you're going to learn to do lockouts, squats, and bench press. We do floor presses here. We lay right on the platform and nail them dead stop off the rods. But that's up to you how you want to do them. Obviously, too, the middle of the week we do sandbag work, and I give you one of the routines in there I use to get ready to start lifting stones. So it's very beneficial. Whether you've ever got into stone lifting or you'd like to, or you just want to get really good with a sandbag, it's all there. Also go out to motivationmuscle.com and /category/podcast. Today, here's somebody that everybody's been waiting to come back on here. We've got Steve Jeck on with us today. Just go out. Steve and I have done one prior to this, and I hope next year we're going to do many more. But go out and look at the vault of information out there. We've had everything from Highland Games, MMA, Strongman, you name it. It's out there. We just had my good buddy Sean Colnan on here. The story about him coming back to powerlifting after he lost his son, who was only 15 years old, to an overdose of heroin. And they did everything they could to save his son. It was one of the most inspirational stories we've ever done here on the show. And as Sean said, he'd rather walk around with cancer than the loss he felt for his boy. And we're behind him all the way, and that's what we're all about here. Before I bring Steve in, I'm going to read just a little line from him, because as everybody knows, we've been doing a lot of books and reading excerpts before we come on. And John Wooden's book has been big here with opinions. But being that Steve's back on here today, this is from the book of Stones and Strength by Steve Jeck and the late Peter Martin. Bill Crawford and I, when he was on here recently, we talk about how Bill likes to read this book, something out of it every day. I've been reading it a lot lately. It's incredible. But I'm just going to do this. This is in the chapter 33 called The Sons of Sisyphus. And this is just the one line I'm going to read with Steve, because I want to get him in here. It's been so long. The struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. And we're going to get into that, because we're going to talk about the inner will, among many other things, I'm sure, because these things spread like wildfire the way we go from one to one, and I love it like that. But let me give you a little information on Steve before we bring him in. He's a strongman, stone lifter, writer, author, and he's a lecturer, Christian and classical studies. And as everyone knows, I told Steve this offline, I've told him many times, Steve was the guy that got me stone lifting. And Steve is very humble and modest about it when we talk about Bill Crawford. But if there was no Steve Jeck, there'd be probably no Bill Crawford or no Eric Fiorello, among others. Because when I saw him do that, and I've seen stone lifting through the years, through WSM, local, all that, it never inspired me to go out and do something the way I did it. So, Steve, welcome back to the show, and welcome to our family again, my friend.
I'll tell you what, Eric, my friend, I appreciate it. I am humbled, and it is an honor, and I don't take this for granted. Our conversations and your very affirming comments mean more to me than gold. Money, gold, they come, they pass through our fingers pretty darn quickly, but friendship and honor and values, that stuff you can't monetize, and that's stuff that will be there. You could lose your wallet, but you can't lose your character, you know, or you shouldn't be able to. It's tough to get back. So everything you've said means an awful lot to me, Eric. I appreciate it. So thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, anything I missed with the bio, add anything you'd like, and we'll get fired up.
I wouldn't add. I might delete a couple things.
Okay.
I am a man and I'm relatively strong. I don't think I would say I'm a strong man in that when your crowd hears that, they're like, well, you know, what was his last contest? But there was nothing there I would delete. It was all probably a little too kind.
Well, I don't think so. And I'll tell you what, Steve, I was thinking a lot about this stuff before you came on, and not generally with you, but just in my own, living. There's so many people out there that are strong, however you want to label it. But one thing that's very interesting is this. There's a lot of people, and this is what we talked about with you, very humble, non-assuming, but they are people that can be reckoned with big time because they have qualities in them that most people, in my opinion, they might have it, but they either lay dormant and finally come out or they never come out and they leave the world, I believe, with a lot of regret. And that's one of the main things we are looking at here is what do you have in these unassuming people that are so strong? And, I mean, you can see it when they walk in a room, no matter how big, how whatever they are, there's just something about their presence. You know, we got into that the other day with the alpha male. And this, to me, is more important than anything because we're living in an age right now where we're blessed by so many things, but there's so many things I believe we've lost, too. And we are here to get them back. Anybody that wants to be part of the family, the revolution we call it here, this is all important. And this all starts out with the inner will. And I want to – how would you define the inner will to yourself? And obviously, with all the things you've dealt with, you know, past, middle, and present in your life, what is the inner will to you?
Well, you know, it's how you're wired. It's what you run on, and it's what makes you tick. And it's interesting, Eric. You know, I would say already, you know, Providence is kind of smiling upon this interview because I didn't know what you were going to read, but when you read that little line from Sons of Sisyphus, by the way, that line, the struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Camus actually wrote those lines. You know, what I did with that essay was what I did with all of my Milo essays. There'd be something I needed to do. It might be grip work. It might be deadlifting. It might be a stone lift. You know, I'd go to the library and I'd read something and it would just jump out at me. For instance, I was reading the Icelandic sagas and I came across this line from Sigurd the Fisherman, where this fisherman is sitting in this inn and he crushes this metal, this tin mug in his hands. And all I needed to read, Eric, was that scene. Mm-hmm. I closed the book, I went home, and I started doing wrist curls with my 70-pound York dumbbell.
Yep.
Because, you know, and what I reference in that little piece is I don't need much. And I think the chord that it hits, if it's a guitar string, the resonance, the vibration that hits with you and Milo readers is exactly that process. It doesn't take much. We see something, we hear something, and it strikes a chord. Our antenna goes in that direction and picks up on that same frequency. Mm-hmm. And so the inner will would be what it is in us. If we were a car, it'd be gas, you know. And if it's in a human being who's created in the image of God, it's our spirit. And that which affirms and strengthens the spirit, I think, brings us to higher ground. And that which ignores the purity of that, even though there might be some accomplishments, and I think this is what I'd really like to get into, brother.
Okay.
Okay. When you said the struggle itself toward the height is enough to fill a man's heart, the way I wanted to start is another quote which says exactly the same thing. It's from Cervantes, the guy who wrote Don Quixote, yep. And he said, "The road is better than the inn." Now, again, the reason I start with these quotes, And I think I was. I think I either just talked to Bill Crawford. It was an email with Bill Crawford. And I said, you know what? You want to talk about my will? How am I wired? It's like this. I approach lifting. I don't care if it's a barbell or stone or whatever. Like, I'd like to say like Vince Lombardi approached coaching. And the first day of practice, okay, and keep in mind who Vince Lombardi is talking to. At that time, the absolute best football players on the planet. But the first day of practice, Eric, he would stand in front of his team. He would hold up a football and he'd say, gentlemen, this is a football. Now, they knew it was a football, okay? But he was sending a message. We are going to camp in and on the fundamentals, you know, and we're going to know what we do so well that even if our opposing team gets our playbook a half hour before the game, even if they know exactly the plays we're getting ready to run, we're going to still get a first down. And you only execute with that level of proficiency, I believe, if you're true to that inner will. So for me, Eric, what does it mean the road is better than the inn? Well, the road is the workout. It's the process. The inn is the end result.
Yep.
Now, here's where I've been misunderstood in the past, okay? And I think this is where maybe sometimes there's a disconnect. There are guys out there who are brutally strong, you know, there are guys out there who move incredible amounts of weight. And early on, brother, and I'm talking like before I wrote my first Milo article in 94 or 95, so well over 20 years ago, I was asking myself, why is that turning me off? You know, I see this guy, you know, benching six plates or lifting a 400 pounds, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, wouldn't you like to do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, you fancy yourself a strong guy. You're no wimp. You love to sweat and bleed. And I mean, why is that turning me off? And I realized, and I had to think about it. And it wasn't envy. I wasn't like, well, he's stronger than I am. No, garbage, man. The reason I got strong was I looked at these guys who were stronger than me, and I wanted to be like them.
Yep.
But what happened to me, Eric, and early on, and it informed every piece I ever wrote for Milo, and it informs the way I walk through this path called life, I had to ask myself, why is what this guy doing turning me off? Even though this guy is big and strong and doing something that you would think ought to get my juices flowing. And I ultimately, after a lot of reflection and prayer, I realized, because it's the process that counts.
Yeah.
It's, Eric, it's how you get there that matters, okay? Mm-hmm. In other words, if the inn is better than the road, if the end result is really all that matters, then let's take this to a ridiculous extreme. If the bottom line is how much can I lift, then why don't I go get a hydraulic jack? and again, it's hilarious and it's funny. We laugh.
Yep.
But I'm like, okay, you know why? Because that's completely retarded, because that's stupid, because that ain't you. Okay, all right, well, fine. So let's just back it up a little bit. At what point does it stop being you?
Yeah.
You see, now there's the center of gravity of this thing, you know, and I address it in almost every piece I wrote for Milo rings this bell. And I think maybe the reason I stopped writing is I felt like, you know what? I think I rang that bell long enough and loud enough, and you either heard it or you didn't. And I didn't, it felt like I was maybe just kind of singing the same song every single week. But so I've been out of the loop for a while. But, you know, I occasionally grab a magazine. I occasionally peek at an online forum. I occasionally jump into a gym and I see, you know, there's still a ton of people who say, no, 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 no. The inn is better than the road. I don't care how you get there, as long as you get there. And for me, Eric, that's always been a theme of my inner will.
Steve, I totally agree with you because anything that's worthwhile in life, whether it's like I found this out with the business, with the training, everything, you're going to stub your toe. You're going to hit a pothole multiple times. You're going to be down on your knees in times where I've been out there at times where I didn't know if I was going to ever come back there again once I shut that door down. I was like, just things not working, not happening, not going the way I wanted to. But there was always that anticipation and that love and that passion and that feeling inside of me where I think a lot of us, once we understand not only the whole mental thing, the spiritual thing, and obviously the physical culture is all connected, and we don't leave that at the gym. It's with us all the time. It's like something you love. You know, it could be a child. It could be a pet, whatever it is. You can't turn your back on it, and I can't do to either of these children of mine, the business or the weightlifting. I just can't do it. I can say I've had enough of it, but whatever it is within my DNA resonates so loud and so hard that I can't give up. I don't have it in me to give up. It could thrash me, cut me in half. If I've got a breath left in me, I'm going to still do it. And this is where I want to reference, and as you said before, you've said it over and over again. I'm going to tell you, we do it here a lot too. But I think today more than ever, they need to hear, as my great college professor says, who I'll reference near the end of the show, repetition, repetition, repetition. And I'm going to equate this to you with the Husafell stone in Iceland. And I hope I don't make you sick of this. But I want to tell you something. You know, when I first got that DVD player from, you know, Iron Mind, I couldn't believe it. And I don't remember how I found out about it. I know how I found out. It was through Milo. So I order this right away. And I'm like, I can't believe this. I mean, here's this place. You know, I've heard of Iceland. I've read about Iceland. But whoever knew this famous stone was there? And I know there's a lot more there because we went on that first tour with Bill Crawford in 08. And when I saw what you did, that automatically fired me and inspired me to want to do this. Now, here's a guy that, you know, I didn't know Steve Jack. I never reached out to him. I didn't know Bill Crawford. I didn't know any of these people other than Randall Strassen because I talked to him through the years. And he published a couple pictures of me training. So I ended up getting some of these names, reaching out to them. But before I did any of that, I took and studied that video of you over. Let me put it to you this way. The first DVD wore out. I played it so many times. The second one I have, and I tell you, I usually play that at least twice a week. The minute I get up in the morning, I'm up here usually at 5 o'clock. I'll go down, even if I watch 20 minutes of it, and then I always fast forward it and watch you go around the sheep pen. And I'll tell you this, flat out, you need mentors like this, whether you are involved with them directly, meaning face-to-face, or like you and I are talking right now over Skype. Because when you talk about, you know, a lot of people just really care about the end result. We don't care about forging the steel and stone all the way to that end result. I don't think anybody that really has a true understanding of what we do would ever even practice that style of, okay, all we care about is this, this, and this, and we're not going to worry about the in-between. Now, I think a lot of that, too, besides there's a lot of people out there obviously don't understand physical culture. We've got this thing now with everybody wants to be a Facebook star, some type of media star, et cetera, et cetera. But here's my contention with the whole thing. And I'm sure you've seen this through your lifting career. How many people have we seen that looked like they set the world on fire for maybe a year or two, and then they're almost like a shooting star and they go black? This is what ends up happening with most of them. You know, where'd so-and-so go? I don't know. Or they got hurt, or they got in trouble for one thing or another. This has never been what I was involved in this for to begin with. What I'm involved in this now more than ever, number one, is your health. Without the health, we can't lift stones. We can't lift weights. We can't be good men. We can't be husbands, fathers, boyfriends, girlfriends, all that. So this has taken on a whole different twist in my life now because of so many demands that are constantly wanting my attention. And hey, I'm the one who created all this, so I have nothing to complain about. But through all the years of training and a great family still do, and the discipline and meeting people like you initially through books, through writings, through never getting tired of hearing that, hey, we've got to do the in-between, the beginning, to get to the end result. I think that's the greatest thing you can impart on anybody, because I can watch Steve Jack lift the Husafell all day or go down and look at his cellar dweller stuff and all that. Great, 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 great. Learn something. But I can never get to my destination, which we all know where I want to be next year, is to get Iceland off my shoulder finally and go to Scotland and Wales. And there's no way I can do this if I'm not going to take all the beginning and the in-between to get to the end result, because there's no guarantee. We know Bill and I both blew our bicep in 2008. There's no promise of glory at all. But to me, and this is what was said to me by my chiropractor who we lost a few years ago to cancer, John Ridge, who I talk about too at the end of the show. I remember when I came back from Iceland, that trip home on Icelandic Air was like, that was one of the worst feelings I ever had in my life. And I'm glad I had my nephew with me, because I gave that to him when he graduated from high school. So he got to go somewhere and really be part of the team. But I can remember that flight home, and that was like, man, oh, man. And I remember John Ridge calling me because he was my chiropractor. And he goes, come on over. I want to talk to you. So I went over there, and I wasn't saying much, and that wasn't much like me, because he and I had that type of it was like a father-son, because I lost my dad so long before that. And his father, they were from New Hampshire, so he still had the accent. And he said, sit in Pa's barber chair. His father was a barber and a chiropractor. And he said to me, I want you to listen to me and don't say anything. And I was like, all right. And, you know, I was pretty quiet. And he said, do you realize that you're only a group of men in history that even had the balls to go over there and go after that monster stone? He goes, so what? You tore your arm. Your bicep. He goes, I don't want to see that happen to anybody, but do you realize all the people that have come before you that have lifted this thing or have not? He goes, right there, that shows not only your character, but that you can take something from nothing and go over and do something big, you know, magnificent. And you know what? That's example for other people. And he said, you have nothing to hang your head down about. He says, now you get ready for the fight and you go back over there. So when you talk about all those things, the repetition and the inspiration and all that, I'm here to tell you those words you say and other people and the passages I read that you have written, whether it's Milo of Stones and Strength, et cetera, have you on the show, talk to you. It's not being wasted, and it's never been.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. And, you know, yeah, because truly, Eric, think about it. So for your particular, you know, journey with the Husafell stone, you know, again, it is the process that counts, because if the only thing that mattered was the end result,
yep,
then within that context, you would have failed. Guess what? So would I.
Yeah.
I went over there to do a particular thing, and plan A didn't come out. You know what? It wasn't really even plan B. I probably would have given it like plan B too. But at the same time, I think the reason it struck a chord with you and maybe has inspired others is everything that we've been saying so far, which is, and this again, this was the earliest, one of the earliest pieces I wrote to Milo, cogito ergo atolo, I think, therefore I lift. And that whole little essay was about physical culture. And you know, the old timers and the founders of the Iron Game, they understood this. They understood that progress is qualitative and not just quantitative.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? It means that progress is not just going from point A to point B. That would be purely quantitative. I'm here. I want to be there. And if I don't get there, I didn't have any progress. No, that's not true. Okay. Because what is happening to you and in you and through you on the way, see, that's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that, like you said, life happens, you know? So if that muscle tears, or if you lose that job, or any number of things that will hit us once we're 18 and older, those are things that could conceivably and often do derail us when we're trying to get from A to B. You know, but if it is the process that counts, if it is how you get there and not just getting there, then you have an entirely new way of processing this thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, and really, Eric, inspiration is everything about what I did in Milo in the early years. And if any, and I just submitted another little article in Milo. Again, I've been a little bit out of the loop.
Good.
But every now and then, like you said, I mean, it's in my DNA. Again, I hate to keep referencing Milo pieces, but I wrote a piece called The Pull way back when, which talked about, you know, you walk into a basement and you see a bunch of old iron, you know, just a 1/16-inch diameter hole,
yep,
plates and bars, and something either happens in you or it doesn't. And if something happens in you, my argument is you have hemoglobin, and one of the components in the blood is iron. And I call the piece The Pull because I've always experienced an innate kind of internal, undeniable pull, almost like an iron to magnet, you know? And I think that's what you're saying. That's why you can never give up lifting. Even if you got one breath left, you're going to kind of reach for a kettlebell.
You got it.
You know? So, and the reason why, yeah, I've been out of the loop a little bit, but you know, this stuff is never too far from me. And the reason I just sent in another piece to Milo is ultimately I do want to inspire. And the word inspiration is built on the Latin root spiritus. You want to talk about inner will? What did I say it was? It's our spirit.
Yep.
And inspiration means to breathe. And I make the point that holding one's breath is pointless. Yeah, I mean, it helps you if you're a yogi or a pearl diver. It's good to hold your breath. But ultimately, you breathe to get oxygen in your blood, and that oxygen goes to your muscles, and then you do something.
Yep.
And so any stuff that I had written to Milo or will continue to write or stuff or the books that I've done or the DVDs, yeah, part of it is I just want to chronicle it. Part of it is I'm kind of a creative person and I want to have an artifact, you know, to kind of show. But if it was purely just – if it just started and stopped with me, it wouldn't have that carryover. And honestly, Eric, to hear you know, the inspiration you drew from that piece, I get emails and stuff from folks over the years who say, you know, I never lifted stones, but I read this and all of us, I got a couple big stones out of my garden.
Yep.
I got a very good buddy who's got a little kid who's got some physical difficulties, but he's out there lifting stones. And even though he can't play with his other classmates, something about lifting a stone makes him feel stronger and better about himself. And when I hear that kind of stuff, I mean, it absolutely, that resonates with my inner will. If anybody has drawn inspiration, not just to say, oh, that's cool, but to go out and then do something, then I am rewarded infinitely more than a few bucks I might get, you know, for publishing a piece.
Oh, yeah, I agree totally. And another thing is, too, is my contention, especially with motivation muscle here, is this. You know, we're all teachers. I mean, it's like everything. A lot of times it might take a Steve Jack, a Bill Crawford, an Eric Fiorello, or, you know, Martin Janzik. It's like suddenly these men are giving you their things that they have done, their teaching, their learning, because I still think, you know, I'm all for coaches if you get good coaches and all that, but my contention with everything, I mean, I'm going from me. Of course, I watch you know, DVDs of Steve and read the old school Perry Rader Iron Man, and you know, we've looked at Milo for years, and you know, I love Anthony DiTillo. He was my inspiration for power rack training. He's the original to me. You know, Heiss. Anybody like that, people that have done extraordinary things with not a lot. But my contention is this, and I think the ones that really understand training, physical culture, the mental end, the spiritual end, which drives everything, your innate intelligence is this. You've got to learn to be able to train on your own too. This was one of the biggest eye openers for me, because I don't think I think you can get as far as you want to drive yourself, but there's something that happens to you when you're alone. And to me, that's going to really bring out the lion in you or not, because there, I know there's some people that just cannot do it alone. They've got to train with people. But I also, I feel that's a good way if it works for you. But for me, being alone brought me to where I got to the point where I could watch a DVD of Steve marching the Husafell stone around the sheep pen. The point was, I set myself up through trial and error to being alone, to knowing this. As much as your beliefs are, and you need to have deep-seated beliefs in everything you do or you get nowhere, when you're alone, there's a different person that's there. It's like, I don't have anybody cheering for me. I don't have anybody loading my weights. I don't have anybody stripping my weights. I don't have anybody telling me, hey, you're off a quarter of an inch. That's why it didn't come off. All these things I have to trust in myself. I said innate intelligence. I have to take signals from my body, which no one should be shutting off to begin with, but I have to form this bond that I've never formed before. And I'll tell anybody out there, you've heard me say on other shows, it's not easy to go out there by yourself, especially if you're having a bad day and maybe you've had a bad day prior to your business or your, you had a fight with your girlfriend or work went terrible. And I love going out there because that's the place I can unload, I can unleash. But what happens when everything is just going the opposite? These are all things you have to learn to deal with, to be able to get through, to build upon, to be able to take the constant pounding and pound it right back at it. And I think anybody that wants greatness, you know, Steve talks about everything right to the end result instead of just worrying about the end result. And if you get it, okay, fine, but you're not going to be around a long time. That's just my opinion talking. I think once you can master this, and we're never going to master everything, but it's a lot of fun to get out there and know, okay, what's today going to be like? I'm on my own. How do I feel? You know, what am I gauged to do? What is the plan we're going to put into action and triumph? And even if we fail, and I want everybody to know, failure is not a bad word. I used to hate to say that word. Failure equals success, everyone. Remember that. Fail as much as you can because you're going to get smart. How do you think I figured out how to have someone build me a steel Husafell stone? Well, we call it the Husa steel. I took all the measurements in Iceland, brought it home. How do you think we came up with a new – we've got four versions of it, and every version's better. How do you think that happened? Well, Steve talked about being creative. When you're alone, you're going to become more creative than ever. Watch someone young. I love watching my nieces and nephews. They'll go and do things. They don't worry about anything. There's nobody telling them they can't do it unless it's something that could hurt them. And you watch them get busy with things, whether they're drawing or building something. I'm amazed by that. And when I lost the job and created FBC and M&M, it was like that little kid creativity came back. Being alone in the gym, the creativity came back. How do I build equipment that I never even thought of in my mind before that? Well, when you're alone, it creates creativity. It creates safety because when you have no one there, you better be real safe, or we all know many people have been killed lifting weights, all right? I didn't want any of that. So what I did is I formulated this whole process, and here we are today, once again, getting ready to go away, stone lifting again, getting cold out there, minimum heat, dealing with the cold, dealing with the pressures of outside, dealing with walking with a stone through snow up to the middle of your shin. All these things that most people would say, well, I get it all the time. Why do you still do it? Why do you want to do it? What is so great about it? What's in it for you? You know what it's all about? It's me. It's the joining of all the parts and the spirit and the brain and the nervous system and all those things we just take for granted and go day to day with. I am so enamored with all those things. I want to learn it all. And I know I never will before my days are over here, but boy, oh boy. These are the things that I pride myself on. These are the things that I get excited about. And the joke here, the standing joke has always been, because my brother-in-law occasionally trains with me. And a lot of times we'd lift stones. We'd have blinding snowstorms. And, of course, my driveway is 95 feet, but we have all the motion lights, so it'll stay lit. And I got to tell everybody out there, and people that don't know anything about it think I'm off my out of my mind, nothing looks better than lifting a big steel stone that basically will freeze to any open skin on you. The lights are all on. Just picture this. The snow's coming down. The sky is gray. And the snow's up to the middle of your shins. And, man, you're walking. And here's what we always said, and we used to laugh. While the rest of the world's inside staying warm and not worrying about things, we're outside battling, getting ready to go, whether it's to Iceland or take this 300-pound stone and make it 350 pounds in 6 weeks. This is the things that matter to us. And it's not the ego talking either. It's the ability and the will, like we said, the inner will to want to better ourselves, to want to take what we have from the gym and carry it over in our personal lives. And I'm telling you, I remember my Frank Klein, who I talk about, my business teacher in college. I remember one day in front of probably had to be 75 of students in the room. He picked on me to say something, and I answered his question. And he goes, I want to tell you this. If Eric takes what he's learned in the gym with all his success and brings that out into the private world, this guy will be anything he wants to be. So that's what I'm telling everybody out there. If you take these fundamentals and you build upon them and take small steps and small steps, before you know, you're in Iceland lifting the Húsafell and walking around the sheep pen, putting that beast down, and have your arms up in victory. And as Steve says, that inner, you know, it touches your heart like nothing else. So, Steve, I've been talking enough, but go, take it away, please.
I'll just piggyback and just say you're 100% right on the training alone, Eric. And, you know, we just watched the 2012 Olympics, and, you know, I'm always kind of conflicted when the Olympics roll around, because part of me is there's nobody more patriotic than me.
Yep.
And there's nobody who loves the Olympics more than me. I mean, this stuff's in my DNA. And every time I hear that, you know, bum, bum, yep, bum, bum, I cry. I mean, so yep, there's nobody who, but at the same time, okay, I will tell you that the Olympics today are not the Olympics of yesteryear. And here's why. And it's everything that you were just saying about training alone, and it's everything we've been saying about the road being better than the inn. Yep. One of the first pieces I wrote in Milo said something to the effect that I celebrate people who achieve in spite of their circumstances, not because of them.
Yep.
You know, and another, and so guys like Norbert Szymanski, who just passed, you know, yep, he's 92 or 93, you know, here's a guy who was driving a beer truck in the 50s and 60s, who had to save money in order to fund his own way to Helsinki, yep, to lift in the Olympics. He asked his boss if he could have some time off. His boss said, if you go, don't come back.
Right.
And now that, you know, there's a hammer thrower named Ed Burke, you know, in the 60s and 70s. He didn't have a hammer circle, so he cut two pieces of plywood to the dimensions of a circle and kept them together with iron hinges. And he would just drive around the fields, lay down his hammer circle, and throw. And those are the stories, and those are the kind of people that resonate with most of us. You know, when I see somebody who's making $1 million and has a Nike contract and this, that, and the other, again, they might be lifting a huge barbell, and I watch it and I say, now why doesn't that turn you on? I mean, you know, or I might see somebody, you know, throwing an implement really far. And first of all, and I always, and Bill Crawford and I, we exchanged a few emails where I have a tendency to kind of get judgmental or critical. And I completely divorce myself from the process. And Bill makes a great point, which is, you know, you need to be salt and light, and if you think people are doing it wrong, then the worst thing to do is completely remove yourself from the process. You need to have the backbone and the wherewithal to inject yourself into the process and do it right. And so I thank Bill for that kind of encouragement. But my point is, you know, I'm inspired when I see people excel, mm-hmm, because they train alone, mm-hmm, without a huge contract, without a big payoff. Because that's, you talk about the inner will, that's the stuff that counts. The first time I lifted my stones at the Association of Old-Time Barbell and Strongman Dinner up in New York City, 1999, and one of the guests of honor was Jim Bradford. He was an Olympic weightlifter, Guy won a silver medal in 52, I think. He missed the 56 games because he got beat out by a guy named Paul Anderson. No shame, no shame there.
You know, not at all.
Yeah, Bradford was a Korean War vet, and he worked his whole life as a librarian at the Library of Congress. He just passed a few years ago.
Yep.
But here's a guy, you know, that, you know, with the next morning, Eric, it's a Sunday morning. We're downstairs on a street in Manhattan. We're both, he's waiting for a cab. I'm loading my stones in my 92 Ford F-150. And we're just talking, you know. And I said, you know what? I said, you know, I know guys are, some guys are lifting more today. I said, but the way you guys did it in the 50s and 60s, I said, that's my fuel. You know, and he said, yep. He goes, we did it all on cheeseburgers and orange juice. You know? And I remember that, man. It's like, yep. You know what? I'm like, I will take that to the grave. That's what puts me under a squat bar. You know, cheeseburgers and orange juice, man. And so that's the stuff that matters, you know. And so I'll tell you what, I know we're getting ready to wrap up.
Well, we take your time, Steve. I mean, I'd go 2 hours with you, but we've got other people. But, I mean, this stuff – I can't tell you how much this means to me, Tay. It is, you know, obviously you've been around a little longer than me, but I love taking that walk back when, you know, you're talking cheeseburgers and orange juice. And, you know, we talk about these men who had to work jobs. You know, we know in the old NFL when I think it meant something, you know, these guys weren't having saunas in the off season. They were out busting their can on a loading dock or, you know, whatever. But I'll tell you this, to be able to go like Szymanski, you know, we talk about that, Will, you had to have unbreakable spirit to have, you know, they didn't have anybody sitting down with them and examining their feelings and what we need to do. And we don't have this book and that book to help you. I mean, that's why I admire so much. I mean, these men were in service, too, and they're still giving back, you know, Olympic lifting. You know, you look at all the stuff, you go back and read these editorials. What I love to read, especially in even the old Hard Gainer in the beginning, every time you walked away from a read, all I ever felt was, you know what, I can do this. You read stuff now, a lot of it is like, it's all the negative. Well, you can't do it, or you don't have the genetics, or you don't have – let me tell you something. If you can lift big weights eating cheeseburgers and orange juice, there's something to be said about that. So, you know, we've got to look at things, especially today, for what a lot of it is. And a lot of it is, I hate to say it, is people are trying to make sales in every which way they can. And all the other nice things that all dance around the one thing when we're talking about the inner will is, are you out there training? Are you out there when you don't feel so good? Are you out there when maybe everything in your life has gone awry, but you still show up? Those are the things that when you walk onto the hallowed land of Iceland, when you're in Húsafell, and you're getting ready to do the most monumental thing in your life, something that could literally kill you right there, is just as soon look at you, all those days in the gym, all those heartaches, all the bleeding, all the, like, I don't know if I can make it through this. And then the other days when I did it, I made it. Look at this. I'm going to go away and kill that stone, literally. That's what it all matters. Because I got news for you. I had friends that had everything. The best bikes, you know, more money, you know, this, that, and the other thing. More, I'll call it now, it was more coddling. And you know what it did? It destroyed them. They never got to where they always espouse themselves to be. And then you'd see the guy or the kid that was, you know, average, they'd call him. But boy, oh boy, when he was out on the football field, he was the leader. He was the guy that you would go to. He was the guy that ran. He was the field general. That's the ones that stand out to me. Those are the ones, as I said in the beginning, the non-assuming, the non-flashy, not a big mouth, but when they're out there, what they say resonates because they're not out just saying one thing after another to be heard. They know when you speak, it's coming from the heart. So, Steve, summarize anything. Obviously, take your time. Anything you want to put out, anything you want to say, you're welcome to it. Let me give out my info. And if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, Eric, I'll finish. You still there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Listen, you started with reading something. I'm going to read a couple little lines. It's a great piece by Alfred Lord Tennyson. It's a poem called Ulysses.
Okay.
And it's basically built on, you know, the character Ulysses, which was the Greek, the Roman name for Odysseus, the lead character from Homer's Odyssey.
Okay.
And, you know, traveled around in ships and fought fights and just he literally defined the literary form that came to be known as the epic. And we've all in high school read excerpts from the Odyssey or the Iliad or whatever. And so this guy, he jumps in ships and sails the world and does horrific awful things, great things, noble things. And years down the road, he finds himself back home and reflecting on the things that he's done. And there's a lot of that, you know, just kind of warm fuzzies and just, Eric, then he looks off in the distance.
Yep.
He looks off in the distance and he sees a ship in the port and his mind starts to wander and his blood starts to pump. And he says, you know, ships were not meant to just be in the port. And he starts thinking, you know what? Maybe there's one more journey.
Yep.
And this poem, Ulysses, by Alfred Lord Tennyson, is about this king reflecting upon all that he's done, but then casting this kind of wayward glance out to the port, seeing the ship. And I'm just going to read a few lines. It's a long poem, but a couple little lines. I'm going to jump around a little bit. He says, I cannot rest from travel. I will drink life to the lees. And a little further down, he says, I am a part of all that I have met. Mm-hmm. I think about that a lot, Eric. I think about the strongman dinners and these conversations with Jim Bradford, one of the other strongman dinners when I lifted stones in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next morning I was talking to Clyde Emmerich, who was one of the first.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Clyde Emmerich. He, too, is waiting for a cab, and I, too, am loading my stones back in the truck. And he looks at these stones and everything. And he goes, you know what? This is strength. This is real strength. I like this. I mean, now, so I say, I am a part of all that I have met, yet all experience is an arch wherethrough gleams that untraveled world whose margin fades forever and ever when I move. Now, here's how he finishes this poem. And this is what I'll leave you guys with. This is, again, Ulysses. Been around the block, you know, done a few things. Now looks at the ship in the port, and he says, though much is taken, much abides. Mm-hmm. And though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are.
Mm-hmm.
One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
Unbelievable.
So you want to talk about the inner will.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a better way to finish than a few lines from Tennyson there in his poem Ulysses. And I, too, find myself reflecting back on the years and saying, yeah, you know what? By God's grace, you know, I did a couple cool things. And that's not false humility. But I have recently, especially through some conversations with my buddy Bill Crawford, and he kind of gave me a couple little elbows in the ribs, kind of like, you know what, man, you're the one who said it doesn't do any good to have an arsenal if you never use it. So,
So I
read that poem recently and I knew we'd be talking and you said you wanted to talk about the will.
Yep.
And I think there was no better way to finish than a few lines there from Tennyson. So how's that?
That was awesome.
Cool.
Just hang on one second, Steve, and we'll end the show up, okay?
Okay.
This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. As I say, we are the alpha male of radio. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and check out the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle and the 330-day ebook. They're both ebooks. Just give us your email address and away you go. You got a little bit of thinking and you got a lot of physical there, and you can't do the both along with the spiritual without them. So go and sign up. They're both free. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast and go out and look at our arsenal of information. There is nobody out there, I don't care how long they've been on, that's got a vault like us. and we don't charge you for anything. You go out there and get the best of the best, let me tell you. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher and give us a 5-star review. People have done that, everyone, and I appreciate that. Don't forget, we are streaming, so we are on we're on multiple directories, but some of the ones that you would know would be Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha, which is the directory for the cars that can get through their radio podcasting, and all the new cars have that capability. If there's a show you'd like Steve and I to do, send it to Fiorello Barbell at nightcap.r.com, and we'll have Steve on next year, obviously, and we'd like to get him on as much as he can do it. Also, too, I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, never be afraid to give words of inspiration, encouragement. We talked about it today. I'm telling you, 5 words can change your life. Do that for somebody in a positive way. Remember, your strength, your courage all comes from within. That outside that we wear called our body is all running from what we think about on the inside. Don't forget that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift today, bend it, break it, push it, pull it, squat it. And if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. And as I say in everything I write, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, too, as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning and who's a guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for the next 28 years, my friend, and Russell will be on with us next month, too, in January. Also, too, Frank Klein, as I spoke many times about through this interview, he was the greatest business teacher I ever had in college. Incredible man. He used to say repetition, repetition, repetition. As my dad would say to us among many things, be a leader, not a follower. And John Ridge, who I miss our Fridays going over and not only having conversation, but getting adjusted. He was my chiropractor for years. He would walk every patient to the door no matter how busy he was, and he'd say 2 words, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself and not smile. I mean, John would be very proud of me for keeping his legacy going, and those 2 words will always be said on this show. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by, and tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming for you, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to cave it right in. Join our family. Join our revolution. I'm telling you right now, you'll have the best 28 years of your life. Come on aboard. Steve, what can I tell you? It's been an honor, a privilege. I wish you a Merry Christmas, and we'll be talking, I believe, very soon, because I will send you the link. This show will be up within the next 48 hours, and hopefully we can get something all set up for next year. And as you said, you're kind of coming in and out of it. We would love you to be part of our family, which you are now. But I would thank you wholeheartedly, and so would all of our listeners out there. So thanks once again for being on, sir.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and everybody there. And I'll tell you what, I am going to keep on smiling.
There you go. I'm telling you, when you said that, I only laughed, but I kept smiling. I'll tell you what, Steve, you would have loved John Ridge, man. What?
Sounds like it.
Those 3 men, I always say, you know, one day we're all going to meet again. And I hope the 3 of them are waiting right there for me along with my brother, Jimmy. It would be the crown jewel of my life. So, everybody, before we sign off, remember this, as the great Les Brown said, you know, you all have greatness in you, but we'll go one step further. We believe in you wholeheartedly, and we've got your back. I don't know many people that lay their stuff down like that, but we will, because that's the way we're made and built. So, for Steve Jeck, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. As I said, we will have this show up within 48 hours. In the meantime, go out and put your stamp on the world. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will talk soon, and have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.